Oh yes, guilty movie pleasure fans. On the eve of life finding a way a fifth time, we're gonna go back to where life found a way a third time. Do you like your Jurassic Park, but always thought, man, I wish this had more Taya Leone screaming and crappier CGI? Well, you're in luck today, because we're covering Jurassic Park 3, Alan!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's guilty movie pleasure.
Just to repeat my motion, that was a raptor claw.
Clear it up for everyone.
Like in the title credit, in the title screen for Jurassic Park 3, it goes Jurassic Park, and then the 3 is a claw.
Got it.
Yeah.
Just in case there was confusion.
Got it.
Hey everybody, welcome to Guilty Movie Pleasures. I'm your host Ben Begley at the Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram. We're talking Jurassic Park 3 today on the eve of Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom coming out tomorrow night, which I am seeing and I'm hoping doesn't suck. We'll see what happens. But anyways, with me as always is Jesse McIntosh, my co-host. Where can they find you, Jesse?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Too Much Jesse.
And we have a special guest today. This is a buddy of mine that goes back, what, since 2000? We met in 2000.
Oh, Y2K.
At a media workshop at UCLA, media workshop. This is Mike Park, everybody.
Hello.
Where can they find you?
My Twitter is not very active, but it is very offensive. It's at Christ Puncher.
Yeah.
Which is...
Yeah, I think you said it was Chris T. Puncher.
Chris T. Puncher. Sure, yeah, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. It's a guy named Chris T. you grew up with. Right. You just want to punch.
It's actually taken from a Simpsons episode.
Is it?
Yeah, the motorcycle gang was called the Christ Punchers.
There you go. See?
Yeah. But I get a lot of hate for it. And truly, the only reason that I keep it active is because there's somebody who is named Christ Puncher 2, and he's constantly messaging me and asking me to deactivate my account so that he can...
You should sell it to him.
I should. Maybe I'll do that the next time. But he wants to become the one true Christ Puncher.
I found out on GoDaddy the other day that my website for our 24 spoof, 24minutes.com, is worth like $1,500 if I sold it. And I'm like... How do I sell this?
For sure, sell it.
How do I sell this? It's a useless website right now.
That's
amazing. Where are you on Instagram, though? Your Instagram name is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Osama Van Halen is is my Instagram name.
You know, hey, sure. It's for the kids.
Yeah.
Sure. So, Mike. Stirring it up online.
Yeah.
You and I go way back.
Way back.
I moved out here in, 2005, in January of 2005. And Mike and I were roommates up in Santa Maria.
Indeed.
And where we played a lot of Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
And
slept 8 inches from each other.
I had an air mattress that had a foam thing on top, an eggshell thing on top of it. It was real, and it would deflate every third night.
And when you were out of town, I would sleep in it because my bed was a twin bed. It was the tiniest thing in the
world. We had some crappy living conditions originally.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. The twin bed was too small for you solo?
The
queen air mattress was more of a luxury.
Yeah.
Sure, but I mean, they each had their pros and cons, it sounds like.
Right. I was growing at that point in time. I was really getting into my adult body.
Sure.
I was getting adult legs. Lankier, yeah.
Yeah, and, understood. Okay, I just want to clear it up.
I started to notice women at that point in time. And so,
He needed a queen. He needed my queen mattress to hook up with.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. All right.
Then I'd slink back to my bed.
And then I hope you Lysol it away. Or anything. But and Mike and I actually made a few films together. You can check. Mm-hmm. One of them's online. A Day in Town.
Oh yeah.
It was a silent film. It was a throwback to Buster Keaton.
I would say
a ripoff of Buster Keaton's College.
100%.
And then we did another super dark drama that I don't know if we ever finished it.
Which one was that? Was that Cradle Song?
The one where I jumped in the stream and there was a toxic waste canister and I called poison control because I was worried I was dying.
And I got the worst poison oak of my life.
Were you camera op or what were you doing that you got near?
I don't remember, but I got...
He stood in the stream and he was right by a tree that had it.
Mm, that was the worst.
And like, the oils got all over your leg and it was like everywhere.
And then it spread into my body, like top
to spread
bottom.
Into your body?
Yeah, it got...
And then you spent the night in Ben's bed.
Then I got poison oak. I didn't know why.
Wow. It got into my bloodstream and basically just like
he became,
and you became a tree.
I became poison oak.
He became Groot and poison ivy mixed together. I like it. Anyway, awful. So what have you been up to lately? What are you telling?
I'm in the workforce now. I build and design data centers for companies. So I'm flying out to DC actually tomorrow to go work on a data center out there. But
nice.
And
you're also doing music.
I do music. I'm in a band called Last Good Sleep. We're playing a couple of shows later on this next month. July 30th, we're playing at Five Star Bar, which is a really cool bar if you've never been to it. It's in downtown. And then we're playing somewhere else, but I don't remember.
Where can they find your band or listen to your music online?
We're on Spotify. It's just Last Good Sleep. We've got a split out with a band called Pretty Flowers that are great friends of ours, and their record releases tonight, and I have no idea where it's at, but...
There you go. Look at Pretty Flowers.
Yeah, perfect. And they're excellent. They're
and
great
Last
band.
Good Sleep.
Yeah.
Support my buddy Mike.
Yeah.
I'm like fully surprised that your band's Twitter name isn't like Saddam Hussein Nutkick or something like that.
It was already taken, actually.
Oh, it's too bad.
You've been trying to get that guy's handle.
Every week we email that guy.
Keep at it. Keep
Saddam
at it.
Saddam Hussein Nutkick. All right, so today we're talking Jurassic Park 3, because like I said, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is coming out. Before we get into the plot too much, I want to talk to both of you about when you saw it the first time and how it lives up to it now. I'll go first, because when I first saw it, I hated it. I hated this movie, because the first Jurassic Park is a perfect film, in my opinion. Like, legitimately a perfect film. It's a perfect adventure film. It's still that scene where the kids are in the flipped-over truck and the T-Rex is stepping on it and the mud's coming in. Still scares the crap out of me. It's an awesome... The tension in it and the way it's shot, the acting, everything about it I love. The CGI mixed with practical... And I remember the only thing I could remember about this movie until I rewatched it again after Jurassic World, the first one, came out. The only thing I could remember before watching it was was Dr. Grant talking to raptors.
Sure.
And I remember that making me in the theater when I was in high school, or I forget what year this came out, just being like, no! No! What? No! Like a bird call to raptors, which I guess, you know, you can make bird call whistles, but still, it just drove me nuts.
No, but then they, like, told him what to say.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He like changed how he was calling, and the raptors were like, cool, mm-hmm. I got you.
Yeah, so there's, it's, and when I rewatched it with Jurassic World, though, I had just saw The Lost World, and I remembered loving The Lost World when it came out, and then revisiting it and being like, wow, half this movie is super boring.
That movie's terrible.
It's really boring until it finally, like an hour into it, kicks in. The one thing I will say about this movie is it kicks in, and the pacing doesn't let up. Whether or not I like... It's like I like every other thing that happens in this movie. I do enjoy this as a guilty movie. I think if this was like a Sci-Fi Channel original, like Sharktopus movie or something, I'd be like, that was awesome. But because it's trying to live up to Jurassic Park for me is where my brain can't fully accept it. But I do enjoy it for what it is, even though I hate certain elements of it. That's my take. What do you think? Should we go to... Let's go to Mike first. Let's go to Mike first, because I know what Jesse's going to say.
The one that loves it. yeah. I have a strange history with the Jurassic Park movies. Jurassic Park 1, I hated for a long time, to no fault of Jurassic Park 1. My birthday's in February, my brother's birthday's in July, and my sister's birthday's in December. And for our birthdays, my mom would take us in the car and let us pick whatever movie we wanted to watch.
Yeah.
For our birthday. So July, summer movies. Great. Summer movies. Wonderful movies. December, Christmas movies. Wonderful movies. February, where movies go to die. It's just the worst month
until recently.
Movies.
I think the Monument Men came out in February.
Until recently, where now they're doing Deadpool and like Black Panther and stuff.
Like, and so, you know, my brother in 1993 saw Jurassic Park, and just... Because I was pissed that I didn't get to see Jurassic Park for my birthday.
But you still got to see it, right? With
I
the
got
family.
To see it, but not for my birthday.
But you resented it because it was your brother's birthday.
100% for years. And then McDonald's.
You meet Spielberg and you're just like, you know what? I'm not a fan of Jurassic Park. And he's like, well, I don't understand.
And I hated it forever. McDonald's did that thing, though, where you'd buy those VHSs.
Yeah.
And Jurassic Park was one of them. And I hated it forever. I wanted to break that VHS because it was Nick's movie. It was not my movie. And then
such
finally,
an amazing hang-up.
I watched it for, like, I finally watched it a few more times, and then it became, like, the greatest thing in the world to me.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's in my top 10 of all time.
For sure.
So what's your... Now, Lost World you don't like at all.
I think that movie's terrible.
It's really rough.
And especially with the caliber of writers, which is... what's his name? David... I want to say David Cope, but that's the guy from...
let's see. I'll look it up while you keep talking. Let's see. Let me see.
But Steven Spielberg directed it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Vince Vaughn, Julianne Moore, that guy from West Wing, whose name I don't know.
Bradley Whitford?
Aaron Sorkin?
No, it's
Aaron
Sorkin. It's the...
Let's just keep...
It's the crabby guy. I forgot his name.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, and of course, my phone is not going to work.
Pete Postlewaite's in it.
Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen.
There's a great cast.
It's an amazing cast. Yeah. And it just doesn't kick
Jeff
in.
Jeff Goldblum.
It doesn't kick in until that scene where his daughter is like in the...
They don't explain how that became his daughter either.
Yeah, it's very strange.
But
it's
a weird movie. There's just some really bad scenes in that movie.
So now why do you like Jurassic Park 3 then? Because there's arguably some really bad scenes in that too.
There's a ton of bad scenes in that. But I think Jurassic Park 3 works as a standalone movie. I don't think it advances the Jurassic universe at all.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really care at all about that.
No plot really.
Yeah,
it's just a fun
adventure movie. And I love adventure movies. I've always loved adventure movies ever since I was a kid. And so to me, it's just like a fun adventure movie. It's a fun movie and it's got a couple of great set pieces in it, notably the pterodactyl scene and the...
I love that scene, actually.
Incredible. And then the riverboat scene is really great, too. The plane scene's all right. That's a okay set piece, but...
It's a huge ripoff of the first one with the car dangling off the...
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of ripoffs, too.
There's a lot of what we called our Buster Keaton short an homage. This is an homage to Jurassic Park 1.
Yeah.
It's in the universe. It's not really an homage. Yeah. It's like it exists in that
world.
It's
floating very slowly, but eventually I'll get the writer.
It just happened again.
But I don't know. I've just always...
But this, Taya Leone doesn't bug the crap out of
me. She's terrible. She's awful. William H. Macy is great in it, though. Sam Neill's great in it.
Sam Neill, yeah, I could agree with that. I think that the issue for... Yeah, Taya Leone, I have a clip. It is David Cope. You're right.
Yeah, David Cope. And he's written a ton of
amazing stuff.
Yeah. He's a great writer.
But I mean, you would... I forget who wrote... God, now I gotta look up who wrote Jurassic Park 3, but I remember one of them
one of the rewrites was Alexander Payne.
Yeah, that's right. When I saw Alexander Payne, I was like, what?
Yeah. And Alexander Payne's done... I don't see Alexander Payne in this movie at
I see
all.
Not a single moment of him in it.
Yeah, I don't know what he did. Maybe he just added punctuation or something.
Maybe he added the talking raptor saying Alan on the plane.
That's
an unforgivable... And I know Honest Trailers just did a Jurassic Park 3, and I agree with pretty much everything they said, where it's just like,
oh, I haven't seen that yet.
You gotta watch it. It's they keep bringing up the raptor saying Alan, and they actually at the end they're like, the movie where a raptor says Alan is the title. So Jesse, now before we get too deep into this, what do you think? Are you not a fan?
No, this movie isn't good.
All right, you're going straight for the guttural.
I mean, it's not. It's like it's extremely lazy.
That's true.
There's just like everything about it is like. No one put any thought into anything. It was just like, we have dinosaurs. Let's get them back into this world and just see what happens.
I can see that.
Like, we can get into specifics when we go through the plot. But, like, just generally, the very first thing we learn when we get on the island is you shouldn't make a lot of noise. And then they spend the entire movie screaming.
Eric!
Yeah, just for people.
Billy!
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
And the best thing is every character goes, don't yell. And then every character eventually yells.
Yeah.
You're like, well, you said don't yell two scenes ago, and now you're yelling.
Right.
I don't appreciate that.
It's bananas.
Has anybody noticed that this keeps...
Yeah, it just keeps changing.
It's a new thing. Steve, is this a new animated screen that every once in a while changes, or have
Maybe.
I just never noticed it in the 2 years?
Maybe.
Ooh. We're getting fancy here at Popcorn Talk. We're just trying to distract our ADD hosts.
One or the other.
Anyways, not a fan. Not a fan. What do you think of the other? Had you seen it before now? Or?
Yes. I had seen it, not in theaters. I had seen it on DVD at some point and had a similar reaction to it. Similarly took away what you took away, the scene with Dr. Grant talking to the raptors and... thinking, what have we come to here?
In his defense, he did talk to the raptor. The raptor talked to him.
Well, both. Both. The raptor spoke English to him.
Yeah.
And then he...
We're talking about that part. Okay.
And
then
he blew into his 3D printer horn.
Yeah.
And communicated with the raptor not to kill him.
And I think that this came out before...
Why was that there anyway? Why did Billy bring that?
This came out in 2001. I don't know the history of 3D printing, but I don't think it was really super in the know. It was like a science fiction-y thing at that time, right?
They're using that John Hammond money that was...
Oh, yeah.
I guess, but like for a production that is running out of money very quickly...
Well, sell the 3D printer!
To blow money on a 3D printer is insane.
That's why they're running out of money.
Let's be honest, Billy doesn't make the best
Billy
decisions.
Was irresponsible. No, but Billy's he threw awful. It out there in the beginning, like, this cost us a week. It was either like a week or a month or something like that. So it didn't even really, like, relative to what they had left, push them back all that much.
Yeah.
So, but why do that? What's the point?
Well, it did save their lives, so...
Because Alexander Payne wrote it in there.
Yeah.
So that,
I think it turned out to be a great decision
also,
at the end.
Also, I will also say, no matter how much money is being promised to me, if my life was almost taken by dinosaurs... Yeah. On an island, you can never get me to go back to that island.
Yeah, perfect example. Can we play clip? I think it's B1. No force on heaven or earth, please.
No force on earth or heaven could get me on that island.
Well, and you're like, oh, well, I guess.
Except a 5-minute dinner with strangers.
Yeah.
What?
It's the best. The best thing is that, like, two scenes later, he has dinner with them, and they're like, just say any number. And then he's on. The exact same thing happened in the first one where he's like, I'm not going to go. And then money.
But also, William H. Macy's, like, the least trustworthy looking person in the world. He looks like a more grown up character of his character from Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Just that, like, squirrely little guy with the little mustache that you cannot trust at all.
And when we find out that it was all a scam and he owns a paint company, it's like, they didn't cash the check before leaving or into his company at all or do any research. They just went, man, this guy's giving us millions of dollars for a tour.
Just a personal check. You can't buy a car with a personal check.
I think it just said money on it. That's the check.
Can you just write it up to cash? Oh my god, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But, you know, I do love moments of this.
Still the best movie.
It's still the best movie ever.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of Jurassic World?
Loved it.
Out of curiosity. Did you see Jurassic World?
I saw Jurassic World, and I remember thinking that it took a lot of the same plot points from the first one.
Yeah.
Am I correct in remembering that?
Yeah.
I don't remember a ton of specifics about it.
I had a blast with it. I thought it wasn't... To me, it was the best sequel. Easily.
100%.
Yeah. It's easily the best sequel since the first one. And a lot of people crap on it, but I thought Jurassic World was a lot. I know a ton of people that hate Jurassic World.
Really? Listen, I don't like Jurassic World because we have a thing in my family where on our cousin's bar mitzvahs, they get to choose where to go to movies.
I can relate to that.
And can you?
Isn't it terrible?
It's awful.
Yeah.
I thought Jurassic World was great. And I have... when I first saw the teaser for Jurassic World, I was nervous, but I've heard decent things, so I don't watch trailers anymore. I watch the teaser, and then I don't watch anything past that.
Trailers are terrible.
Gives away
days.
Everything. Gives away the entire movie. So I don't. I've heard rumors where people are like, oh, "There's a piece of something in my hair." Asbestos. People at home are like, "What? What does that have to do with anything?"
Ben bathes in asbestos.
I bathe in
it's
asbestos.
Not a big deal. Don't worry about him. He'll be fine.
It's a life choice.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where I've heard rumor that it's like a haunted house movie mixed with a survival movie, and I'm like, all right, that sounds cool.
Sounds kind of cool.
I don't know how that works, but we'll find out.
Is there
tomorrow.
Ghost dinosaurs?
Hey, please tell me there's ghost dinosaurs.
I am on board if there's
ghost
dinosaurs.
Do they talk to those ghost dinosaurs with a 3D printed ghost larynx? All right, before we get too much further, let's do the plot in under 3 minutes. Mike, I don't know if
I might let you two do this.
No, you're going to chime in. I'm going to make you chime in.
You are involved. You have a computer. You're
you have a computer.
Yeah, but it says nothing about that. It just says Tay Leone all over the place.
I love it. Okay, so let's do the plot in under 3 minutes. We'll bounce it around, so don't worry. It's not on your shoulders. It's on all three of us, Mike.
Lordy.
You ready in the booth there, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go.
All right, in 3,
I'll start it off.
2, 1, go!
So we start off with the world's shadiest tourism company parasailing over Isla Sorna, Isla Sorna.
Yeah.
And they're like, we can get you close, you're going to see some dinosaurs, and then something eats the people in the boat, and the stepdad and the kid, he gets them untied, and they land on the island. And then that's it. And then we go cut to Dr. Grant and Laura Dern's character, who's now just like a stay-at-home mom. And Dr. Grant seems really sad and alone. And he's talking to a class full of people who don't give a crap unless he's talking about Jurassic Park. And then he gets approached by William H. Macy. Or am I skipping something?
Nope. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Go. Somebody else.
They introduce Billy. Billy's trying to he's trying to have sex on top of some dinosaur bones with a girl.
Yeah.
And then they go out to dinner with William H. Macy, Tay Leone. William H. Macy gives this whole speech about how he wants to get him a tour for their
10-year anniversary.
Yeah, 10-year anniversary. Writes him a big old check. all of a sudden we're in a plane, and you can take
it. Yeah, all right. So so Dr. Grant starts to give them, like, show them what dinosaurs are what, and then they decide to land. And
no,
he's like,
suspicion, yeah, to the mercenaries.
He's like, oh, okay, so I guess we're landing. This is not what we agreed to. They go and do a perimeter, and they start yelling for their kid, and then the T-Rex, I think. Spinosaurus. Yeah, comes and eats one of the mercenaries, and they get back in the plane, and they try and take off, but they clip the dinosaur, and then they crash into the plane.
Oh, and then
crash into the tree.
And then from there, they're stuck in the plane. The raptors come, right? And they wound... Is that there? No. And then the plane falls. The Spinosaurus is, like, flipping the plane around. And then the T-Rex comes and fights. And the Spinosaurus kills the T-Rex immediately, which is a bummer. And apparently there's only one T-Rex on this island.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, come on, show another T-Rex. That's what we came here for. Mm-hmm. Anyways, they run away from the Spinosaurus. I forget how they get free. They run.
They just run. There's a lot of running.
They make it.
They come across some raptor eggs.
Yep. And Billy, we don't know until way later that he stole two of them.
He's super shady from the start, though.
The raptors follow him into this, like, abandoned area.
Yeah,
right?
Kill Michael Jeter.
Yeah. And then from there, the raptor gets pinned back behind the gate, and it's calling for help, and Dr. Grant is really stoked about that.
Super stoked.
And then they get separated, and Dr. Grant finds Eric Kirby, the son that's been missing.
Yeah, he's been living in the...
You take it from here,
Jesse. No.
Yep, too bad.
He's been living in
this
area.
Whoever's here the last 30 seconds, it's not potato.
They find each other on either side of the fence, and then one of the dinosaurs comes again.
They gotta look for an opening.
In the exact spot where it's convenient. They run into this bird cage that it turns out to be. And then they're on the bridges. The bridges are about to fall. The birds, pterodactyl comes in and grabs
Billy.
And go ahead, Mike.
And then they're suddenly on a riverboat again. And then the Spinosaurus comes and tries to eat them. William H. Macy lights them on fire. And all of a sudden the army's there.
The Navy and the Marines show up.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
We should,
you know what? Actually,
can you
play that sound clip again? Because rewatching this movie, there were several moments that made me go. It's a 28-second scream. Okay. It keeps going.
Oh, this is when she ran away. Oh, that's right.
Okay, can we just talk about how she acts like everybody acts like just a bunch of spiders fell on her and it's the skeletal remains of her dead boyfriend.
Yeah. Right.
And everybody reacts like, all right, we gotta cut it down.
Well, who for real? No one cares about. Not a single person.
Not even her.
I know. She didn't even mention him when they were talking about who they were looking for.
No, right after that, when William H. Macy runs up to her, she's like, it's not about Ben.
Yeah.
It's about Eric, and it's like, Ben's skeletal remains just hit you in the face.
Yeah. She had 8 weeks to get over him, though. They've been out there for 8 weeks. She's moved on.
I guess it can't really be about Ben when Ben's on screen for 5 seconds of the movie.
Yeah.
So was Eric at that point.
At that point, but Eric came back.
Yeah, let's talk about from the beginning, though. So we're going to lovingly make fun of this, and Mike's sad about that. But do you have any factoids you said you had?
I've got a ton of factoids. We can go through them. I mean,
as we go, or wherever
we go.
You tell me anything.
Maybe I'll just start off with a quick one. I love seeing, like, alternate casting choices.
Oh, absolutely.
The only one I could find for this was Cooper. Do you even remember the character Cooper? He was the mercenary that said that he met them in church.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gets eaten almost immediately.
Yeah, by the Spinosaurus, right?
So apparently Stellan Skarsgård...
Please land.
Yeah, Stellan Skarsgård, Steve Buscemi, and Tony Shalhoub were all up for that role. Why that role? I have no idea. Can you see any of those people playing that role?
Tony Shalhoub especially doesn't look like a mercenary.
Yeah, monk.
He'd be
cleaning the plane.
I would have cast any of those people as the boyfriend.
Yep. Because then you would have instantly cared. Yeah. You would have instantly cared.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That would have been Tony Shalhoub, Steve Buscemi.
And Stellan Skarsgård.
Maybe Stellan Skarsgård? Is Stellan Skarsgård... He's the guy from Thor and like...
He's the teacher from Good Will Hunting,
I like that I pulled Thor as my...
Insomnia is the one I always go to from him.
Yeah,
that's the first one, I think.
I don't know if he looks like a mercenary. He looks more like a corrupt corporate business leader.
Maybe they were going to expand the role or something, because that role was almost nothing.
Yeah, if any of those guys... That's the thing. Also, I feel like, I don't know if this came out on a writer's strike, but it feels like a rough draft of a movie where, like...
Yeah, well, we can get in some more tidbits then.
Please, tidbit away.
The first draft of
tidbit away sounds dirty, but keep going.
But do it.
The first draft of the script...
8 inches away from Ben's bed.
The first draft of the script, apparently, the plot of it was a bunch of teenagers were marooned on the island. And then Joe Johnston,
played by Tony Shalhoub,
the director,
he plays all of them,
yeah.
Orphan Black style,
said it was not a badly written script, but it was written like an episode of Friends.
Okay, I didn't. If there was any way to make Jurassic Park 3 worse,
yeah,
it's an episode of Friends.
That's true.
On an island,
but I love that idea. I love the idea of like a Friday the 13th kind of movie with a bunch of teenagers on
an
island
with dinosaurs.
Being stalked by dinosaurs. I would have loved to have seen that movie.
Like a horror film.
That actually makes more sense to get people on an island is if kids are just like they're sort of
being
rebellious. It wasn't even a rescue at all though.
Yeah,
it was just like these kids on the island.
Great.
Man, now I'm kind of stoked on this idea. At first it sounded when it said the episode of Friends it sounded terrible, but now it sounds great.
But do
the concept is excellent.
Do the raptors talk in this version of it?
They didn't say that, but I would assume yes.
I would assume the talking raptors were from day one.
One of the raptors plays Joey from Friends.
That's my Joey impression.
That was really good.
How would Channing Tatum play a raptor?
It would be like this.
That's a good raptor.
Thank
sound.
You.
I would have went a little more, you know, but it's all right. It's all right.
Okay.
So we have the scene in the beginning with the world's shadiest tourism company. I wouldn't trust these guys to take me anywhere.
Sure wouldn't.
To Catalina Island, let alone Isla Sorna.
Yeah, they had a very laissez-faire attitude around dinosaurs.
How did they get there is my question. Because didn't they say it was like 200 miles off the coast of Costa Rica?
Yeah, it's like no fly
There's
zone,
no way to get there. Yeah. They're on a boat. How did they get there? Okay.
Movie.
All right.
Yeah. I was just going to say movie, whatever.
Yeah. Movie.
Movies.
Movie, great.
So, but then I love when they get eaten, I assume, by the Spinosaurus.
Really quickly.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
But only the people, not the boat.
And a little bit of the canopy.
Yeah.
And I love that they're like, we're going to crash. And you think it's going to be this epic boat crash. And then the boat just kind of like skips up and
And
then sort of lights on fire.
Yeah.
And that doesn't even light on fire.
It didn't light
it
on
just,
fire.
It just like cracks a little.
I'm not really sure what they thought was going to happen when the boat crashed. They're not
rather
on the boat.
Just stay attached to the boat.
Yeah.
Don't land on the effing island.
Most definitely.
That's the worst idea.
That seems like the worst choice.
It's all right, Eric. Yeah. I'm going to steer us towards this island with carnivorous beings.
Yeah.
Oh, boyfriend. What was his name? Ben. I should remember.
Yeah.
It's my name.
Ben.
Yeah.
Come on, Ben. I just remember feeling bad that Laura Dern... You could tell this was at like a dip in her career before she had that renaissance on like HBO. Where
she
now
she looked good though, man.
She looks great.
Wow.
But what I'm saying is like there was a period of time where she wasn't working as much, and now people have realized again how fantastic she is, and
Excellent. She's
in everything on HBO.
Yeah.
And but they just like threw her in as like a throwaway like love interest.
Yeah.
And it's such a sad. Dr. Grant to me was the thing that really hit me this time was how much of a bummer Dr. Grant's life is now.
Yeah.
Like how he's just like this sad, lonely dude that's still digging up fossils, having mild PTSD, and not with the woman he loved in the first movie.
He talks about it a little bit, too. He talks about how some people want to be astronomers and some people want to be astronauts.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how this is the life that he chose.
That's why he doesn't want to go back,
research,
right?
Rather than the life of adventure. I feel like he's getting a fair amount of adventure as well.
Yeah,
but,
he's getting more adventure than most astronauts.
Right. He's like a super sad, reluctant Indiana Jones is what he is. Like, it just bums me out.
He even puts the hat on his eye over his eyes in the plane.
Yeah. Another homage
to the first one and to Indiana Jones. Yeah. A lot of homages.
Yeah.
A lot of homages. And then the whole, like... The Honest Trailers brought this up, too, but how, like, on the nose it is when Dr. Grant is at the lecture and he's like, does anybody not want to have a question that isn't about Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's super meta for Sam Neill at that point too, where it's like, does anybody want me in something other than Jurassic Park at this point?
What a notable movie. He was in Dead Calm.
Event Horizon.
He was in a lot.
Event Horizon is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
But also like a sort of meta for like the audience.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Do you guys want us to just run this back?
Yeah, we kind of do.
Yeah.
You guys just want us to do the thing again?
You
want to
do us the thing?
Okay.
Yeah.
The thing that bums me out the most about this movie is they introduce a bunch of cool dinosaurs, and a lot of them are just like extras almost. Like the I think it was an Allosaurus or the one with like the spike on its head that shows up, or the horn.
Oh, the horn. For like, it shows up for like 8 seconds.
And it's a carnivore, and it just goes like...
It sniffs the giant piles of...
Poop,
of
and then...
Poop, and yeah. And then walks away.
Well, and you're like, what?
Part of the thing that was so good, and maybe a little bit underrated about the first one, is how it clearly loved dinosaurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they like really spent time talking about dinosaurs and what each one did.
This
and
one
what
you didn't,
each
you
one
were
liked.
Like, what the hell
they
that
didn't,
one?
Not mm-hmm. even a little bit. And they like even, I don't know, maybe made up some dinosaurs and just threw them in there.
There were some weird dinosaur designs this time where like the raptors had the weird like spikes on their head, which maybe some raptors did, but I thought they're cooler in the first movie. The design of the raptors were way cooler in the first film.
I agree. Yeah, I apparently all of the dinosaurs are actual based off actual dinosaurs. They did take some liberties in like the coloring and stuff,
but it wasn't until Jurassic World where but that's what I liked about Jurassic World is where they made fun of the fact that they were like, I think Chris Pratt says like, somebody says we needed to up the wow factor, and he's like, we have dinosaurs. Wow,
right.
Enough.
Right.
You know, and I like that. That was like a comment on the studio system. Yeah.
Wasn't it named after like Samsung or something? Like the Samsung Presents Dinosaurs?
It feels like it. I think it probably was. The worst thing about Jurassic World, though, that I hated was Vincent D'Onofrio's character. Like, we're going to weaponize the raptors. And it was like, what?
That was the original idea, though, for that movie before they turned it into Jurassic World. Like, the original idea for the next Jurassic Park movie was weaponized dinosaurs.
Why didn't they just scrap that entirely?
I don't know. And it's, you know, it's kind of like that Kevin Smith story where the guy wanted to...
The giant spider. Yeah. And it ends up in Wild West.
Somebody just has a hard-on for weaponized dinosaurs.
That was the worst part of the movie because it doesn't go anywhere. It makes no sense. Oh, we're running out of time and we've only talked about the first 3 minutes. Okay. So we already talked about the 3D printer and how ridiculous that is.
Yeah.
And we talked at length about the dinner that convinces Dr. Grant immediately.
Hell of a dinner.
hell of a dinner at the crappiest dive bar ever. were there any facts or IMDb trivia about why the raptor says Alan? Or no?
No, that I think that was just
a thing.
Just a treat for us.
Just
that's
a
it.
Treat.
Yeah.
I just wonder, like, at one point, there had to be somebody... Or is that something where, like, the director loved it? Because Joe Johnson has done other stuff that's great. Like,
yeah,
the first Captain America movie's great.
He did Rocketeer.
Rocketeer's
Honey
fantastic.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Jumanji, the original Jumanji.
All great movies.
Yeah.
I mean, this was his directorial debut, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure.
No, this was not.
It wasn't?
No, because he did Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Before this?
Yeah, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was, like, 1989 or something.
Because he was, I think he was
Rocketeer
Steven Spielberg's... camera assistant, DP or something?
Probably camera assistant. I don't think
it felt like there were parts where he wanted to make it a comedy.
Yeah,
like
there was a lot of one-liners that went.
Yeah, and so this was maybe
comedy
a
comedy too.
Maybe
William
a swing
H. Macy
and a
did
miss.
A lot of like physical, like where he'd walk out of the plane and walk back in when he saw the dinosaur and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And then Taya Leone, just her screams. Can we just play her scream again, just to haunt our dreams? Okay, stop it, for God's sake.
That's probably fine.
Okay, so what was clip number one, Jesse? You know the sound clips this time around. They were smarter?
This is Dr. Grant sort of discovering how smart the raptors were.
Really, they were smart.
Oh, yes.
They were smarter than dolphins or whales. They were smarter than primates.
Man.
Well, you know.
They were smarter than primates.
You would think with how stoked he is to get around them again to study them in person, he'd be like, yeah.
Well, they did try and kill him the first time.
Several occasions.
Yeah.
Several occasions.
For no reason other than to just eat him.
Yeah, this time at least there were the eggs.
Yeah.
Last time it was just really anti-Jello
mm-hmm.
and just murdering.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
It didn't like green Jello.
Sure.
I'll never forget that shot. That's such a good shot. Every time I eat Jello, which is never, but whenever I do,
have
to jiggle it and look like this. And I don't know how many times my wife and I quote, "They left us. They left us." Like even at our yard sale this weekend, her parents went in the back for a second, and somebody had a question about one of their items, and we're like, "They left us. They left us." And the person's probably like, "What?" What? What kind of weird commune are you guys living on?
And the person was like, Alan.
Alan.
What?
You got the reference. Clip number two. Let's just play it. We'll figure it out.
We even have two seats reserved on the first commercial flight to the moon.
Oh, yeah. There's several red flags in this dinner.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That they have enough money to have two seats on the commercial flight to the moon.
Yeah.
Or that's even a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Grant's smart. He knows that that's not...
He's dinosaur smart, though.
He's not real world.
He don't know about that moon.
He doesn't know about the moon.
It's true. Yeah.
He may mention astronomy, but it doesn't mean he knows anything about it.
Yeah.
So for all he knows, while he's digging up fossils, they're
taking commercial... That's actually a really good point, that this is the second reference to astronauts in the movie.
Maybe it's at...
A fetish.
He just throws it out there but has no idea about it.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And then I think the other one... Okay. This is when they first land on the island, and... Yeah, they're all yelling, and like we said, Taya Leone is just screaming in a bullhorn, Eric.
Oh, yeah.
And this is that point where there's this comedy where it's like, honey? And she's like, what? And she turns around with it, and it's supposed to be funny, but it's just really annoying. Mm. And then we hear a spinosaur.
Tyrannosaurus. I don't think so. It sounds bigger.
Whoa. It sounds bigger.
Each movie, the dinosaurs have to get bigger.
I call BS on that.
Does it sound bigger or louder?
Because playing again, it doesn't sound bigger.
Right.
What was that? That's a Tyrannosaurus. I don't think so. It sounds bigger.
Yeah, I guess.
Also, there was like a nominal difference between the size of those two dinosaurs.
Right. It wasn't that much.
Yeah.
And like maybe just it sounds closer is what he was going for.
And also maybe the Spinosaurus isn't that much bigger. It's just his beak. And his spine, thin.
Yeah, he didn't seem that much bigger.
Right, and no offense, like, you heard the T-Rex maybe 5 times 3 years ago. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't, there's no way you can differentiate between what you remember hearing and what you're now hearing in this moment.
Especially since now dinosaurs in your nightmare speak English.
Right.
So you really don't remember.
Right.
I would have rather the raptor just go, oh, in the plane instead. That would have been awesome. And he's like, instead of saying Alan.
Or, yeah, just growl at him.
So then he's pissed off because William H. Macy, Mr. Kirby, and Taya Leone, Mrs. X. Kirby, I don't know, Screamy Girl, we'll call her Screamy Lady. Mm-hmm. He's pissed off that they made him land. The plane crashed. There's a cool sequence where the Spinosaurus is flipping the plane around and they're getting tossed around, and mm-hmm. and it's practical. I like that. Even though I think the Spinosaurus's mouth looks kind of silly at points, mm-hmm. I still like that it's practical, though. I love the practical effects. And I think the reason the first one works so well is because they hide a lot of the practical effects in darkness and in rain and in lightning. This one, it's like broad daylight, so you can really see when it looks like an animatronic.
Yeah.
That's where I think that the atmospheric elements of this movie... I will give Lost World credit for the atmosphere of some of the set pieces, even if it takes like an hour to get to them mm-hmm. and it gets boring as hell.
Yeah.
And the whole Hunters thing. But I think being in broad daylight was a disadvantage for the CGI.
They did, on this one, they used a lot of fog. Like there were a couple of fog scenes.
Yeah.
And that's where the best two set pieces in the whole
are in the fog.
Is in the fog and at nighttime.
In the rain, yeah. Because it masks some of the effects. Let's play clip number four. This is when Dr. Grant is really pissed off and wants to leave this island and kind of leave the kid behind, which is not a really heroic thing to do.
No. Dr. Grant, we're not leaving this island without our son.
Then you can go and look for him. Or you can stick with us as long as you don't hold us up. Either way, you probably won't get off this island alive.
That's rude.
That's super rude. I mean, there's no emotion. Even though they're like searching for him. A lost child. There's never any emotional reaction to that from anyone but the parents. Like, everybody else is like, your kid's dead. Move on. It's been 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Move on. Which Dr. Grant's being practical.
Totally. A child with his mom's boyfriend?
His mom's boyfriend. So it's almost on the island,
completely surrounded by dinosaurs, by themselves for 8 weeks.
Should not survive.
0% survival rate.
Yeah,
sure.
And Dr. Grant has PTSD. He's just being practical right now. We've already seen 2 or 3 mercenaries get murdered by now.
Yeah. Like trained killers.
Yeah.
I would...
By the way, wouldn't you think that the tour is a little shady from the beginning with these mercenaries?
Yeah, they met him in church.
I met him in church, yeah. Yeah.
I have a practical question about how much do mercenaries cost and how much does a private plane to an illegal island cost?
Did the private plane and the mercenaries not double check the check either? I feel like mercenaries would cash a check beforehand.
He's got a lot of bad checks floating out there.
Yeah.
Or is it in 2001, did checks just not clear as
fast?
Or
is this just the most successful tile business that's ever been
run? Spent his life savings
on Enid, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They did say Enid, Oklahoma.
Everyone needs tile in Enid.
Everybody.
Every single year.
Everybody.
He's making a killing out there.
He is. And what's the How You Play God, Jesse?
Let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
This is how you play God.
Oh, yeah. I think William H. Macy says, this is how you make dinosaurs.
Yes.
And he goes, no.
This is how you play God.
That is what it is.
I love that sound guy. He's great. He's on top of it.
Steve's on top of it, yeah. You know? It's I'm trying to think of something, a story that matches that. you know, when I go to, I get a little overzealous at Menchie's.
Sure.
And I think that I'm like, you know, I don't want to say a deity there, but I feel like I know my stuff. I know exactly how to get the most bang for my buck there, the most frozen yogurt to toppings ratio. And they're like, hey, that's how you get a good deal. You know, when I had the whole thing, I had like 14 different toppings, and it was only like $4. And the worker was really impressed. He looked at me and said, that's how you get a good deal. And I said, no.
This is how you play God.
And I took a big scoop of it.
Wow.
And he was like, that's weird.
He probably tells that story also.
Also. Yeah. He's like, that insane guy's coming back.
you know what's crazy? There's video footage of when you guys shooting that movie in the river.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
And there's like behind the scenes footage that I got my hands on. And I was
it's great because we don't even just, have on the scenes footage.
It's all behind
it's
the
all
scenes.
Behind the scenes. And I was just fast forwarding through, and there's a point where Mike touched your shoulder, Ben, and you were like, that's how you're gonna give me poison oak. And Mike was like,
this is how you play God.
Like why would you do it though?
Why give me poison oak, Mike?
It doesn't make sense.
I've been harboring this anger towards you for years, and we're going to hash it out here in the next 17 minutes and 15 seconds.
Here we go.
I do have another question about this scene. When they're going through and looking at like where they made the dinosaurs,
yeah.
How long has it been since the first Jurassic Park till now? Do we know?
I mean, in real time, it's been 8 years.
Okay.
93 to 2001.
Yeah.
Is that eight?
Yeah.
Sounds like eight.
The infrastructure is falling apart like it's been 75 years. Yeah. Everything is broken.
Or like the dinosaurs just got hungry for metal is what. Yeah. It's destroyed.
Like, the bridges are falling apart for no reason.
Like it's been like Dr. Grant has aged very well for 75 years later.
That was one thing I was thinking about, too, when they were in the pterodactyl cage. Like at any point in time, did that ever seem safe?
Right.
Like when the brand new put a bow on that thing, that's still terrifying.
And also, if those pterodactyls have been in there for 8 years and can't get out, like they're going to die.
Yeah.
What else is in there? Nothing else is in there.
And then Tay Leone just leaves the gate open.
Yeah. And then they're really not, I know I'm skipping way ahead to the end, but they're real nonchalant about these pterodactyls that ate somebody.
Yeah.
Flying off. Just like, well, who knows where they're going to find a nest.
Good luck, guys.
Good luck.
Well, technically, they didn't eat him because he comes back.
But they tried to feed him to their baby.
That's true.
Boy, they tried.
Yeah.
But I didn't know pterodactyls were carnivores. I don't know why.
I don't know. They're actually, these are actually...
They're pterodons?
Pterorondans.
That's what I'm going to call them. I will say when the one mercenary, when Cooper gets eaten and the blood splatters on the plane was pretty rad.
Yeah.
That was pretty great. I like that one. And
Pteroronodon.
Pteranodon.
And the second...
They can eat when the sun's down. Or they have to eat when the sun's
down. Yes.
The second script was actually called Pteranodon, and it was about these Pteranodons. On the island, they would fly back to the mainland and kill people, and then fly back, and nobody knew what was happening, and it was like a murder mystery trying to figure out what
was going
on.
Boy, did they take some swings.
Wow!
How did we end up with what we ended up with?
Joe Johnston, man.
That's bananas.
Man, now I just want these alternate universe Jurassic Park movies to come out.
They all sound better.
Can you just do, like they do with The Conjuring and every other movie, just be like, in the Jurassic Park universe.
Yes.
Pteranodon. Yeah. Yeah. I'd watch that.
I want the teenage one. First,
though. I do too.
I
you know, because
so badly.
As cool as Jurassic World, I'm sure will be or won't be, who knows? It looks like they keep going bigger is better, and I think sometimes more boiled down and like a
I want
horror,
almost like a straight horror, yeah,
a straight horror film with dinosaurs.
Oh my god,
because
awesome.
The book that I read it years ago, but I remember the Jurassic Park novel being terrifying and like,
oh, yeah.
Actually creepy. Who am I kidding? I read like the first like third of it. There wasn't any pictures. It wasn't the comic book. Anyways, I don't know what that voice was. The T-Rex getting killed in 3 seconds was annoying to me.
That was because they actually did that because the T-Rex, the animatronic T-Rex, had a... had a giant hole in its neck, and instead of paying for it, they did CG T-Rex. Instead of paying to fix it, they did CG T-Rex, and the one shot of the animatronic T-Rex has the giant hole in its neck, and that was the wound that the...
Wow.
This is really what happened.
You think it would cost more to CGI it?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe not.
Because they wanted to have a fight anyway, but the fight was supposed to be longer, but they couldn't get this animatronic.
If only they had a 3D printer to fix that T-Rex.
Just stick a little 3D printed T-Rex up there.
Oh, God. There's all kinds of stuff that happens. There's they go to this abandoned bunker, like lab place where, yeah, like you said, it looks like it's been abandoned for 75 years.
Yeah.
And then there is a cool, I actually think that's a cool scene where the raptors pin him in the cage.
Sure.
That I like, they're set pieces I like. It's the stuff in between that drives me crazy. I actually don't really mind any of the dinosaur stuff. It's the people stuff in this movie that is unforgivable.
I think the biggest problem is Taye Leone.
Yeah, and she's not a terrible actress. She's just really bad in this movie.
She's not, yeah, she's horribly miscast for this movie. And she doesn't have much to work with.
She doesn't have anything to do. She's just screaming.
Yeah. Right.
That's all it is.
I would not have been upset if she died at the beginning instead of one of the mercenaries.
Yeah, just keep one of the poor mercenary who's left there. That's a cool sequence, too, where the raptor wounds him.
Yeah, Michael Jeter.
And Michael Jeter, and then they're stuck in the tree looking down at him, and they're like, he's not dead, I'm going to go help him.
Yeah.
But then the raptor, like, full-on cold-blooded Hitman style, snaps his neck.
Yeah,
like,
on their way
out.
Damn!
Like, that was straight-up 1980 Schwarzenegger neck breaking.
I was like, whoa!
Yeah.
And then he looked back up at the tree, and he went like this.
Yeah. You're next.
And then he brought out a cigarette.
That's amazing.
Put it out on
like,
the
I don't know why the raptor didn't just eat him or something. It was so much more badass and cold-hearted.
Had sex with two other raptors.
So
good scene.
So then there is
the
that great...
The raptor had a 3D printed image of a dick, and
now that we're talking about, good thing we didn't go too far with that. We'd be explicit.
Yeah.
Now that we're talking about more of the dinosaur stuff, I'm remembering parts that I did really like about it. Like, excuse me, the raptor scene in the building I thought was really cool. Like that shot where they walk by and you see an out of focus raptor is awesome.
Yeah.
And where it's like climbing up when the raptor looks up and realizes it can climb when they're pinned in the cage there.
Although that really backfired on him immediately.
It did, because then they shut him in and pin him. Yeah. But then Dr. Grant gets super stoked that it's calling for help.
Yeah.
Then he gets surrounded by raptors, which I didn't realize raptors were afraid of smoke.
Yeah.
But
everyone's kind of
we don't
afraid
know.
Of smoke.
Yeah. Maybe they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prove them
65
wrong.
Million.
Then.
You can't prove they're not afraid of it.
I don't particularly like smoke,
I
would probably move away from it.
Yeah. You know, they're just very health conscious. They don't want any carcinogens.
I'm sure they don't understand what that is.
Yeah.
It freaks them out. They're just like, oh, I got to get out of here.
Freaks them out, yeah.
They just learned how to climb, so I think
exactly.
Smoke is kind of crazy to them.
Let's give them some space here. They already know a good amount of things. They know how to mafia style break a dude's neck.
He only smokes camels. He doesn't smoke. Yeah,
just menthols.
Right,
they learned how to say Alan.
Yeah. They know how to say. Come on, they're already advancing like on par with Caesar in the Planet of the Apes prequels. This is when Eric rescues Dr. Grant, and he's in this abandoned vehicle that he's made his home. And apparently, T Rex pee scares away some dinosaurs, and so Dr. Grant and him are discussing the logistics of T Rex pee.
This is T Rex pee. How'd you get it?
You don't want to know.
No, I do.
This is a perfect microcosm of this movie.
I do want
to know. Everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to know.
Yeah.
If the movie were 15 seconds long of him just explaining how he got it, I would love it. That's the only movie I want to see.
We've talked about this 100 times.
If we had seen it, if we had spent 5 minutes seeing him get it would have been awesome.
We've talked about this 100 times, how that's just lazy screenwriting. Where it's like, we're like, they're like, you don't want to know. And it's like, we don't know how to tell you that this happened, so we're just going to make it sound ambiguously kind of weird and maybe gross.
Then why even pose the question? Because Dr. Grant is talking for us at that point.
Yeah.
It's like, how did you get it? Yeah, everyone wants to know.
But it's like a joke line for the kids to be like, T-Rex pee! And I'm like, ugh.
Well, I think what they're trying to do with that is trying to set up the horn dinosaur and how he smells
the poop and is
then
afraid.
Goes away.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what they're trying to
set up.
But they
so
do it
gross.
In a pretty lazy way.
That sequence is so gross where they're digging through Renee walked in because she wasn't watching with me. She walked in as they were like elbow deep in crap.
Yeah.
And it's just, they're all like, again, The other thing that bothers, like I said, I like all the dinosaur stuff for the most part. It's the people stuff. Like, at least react like you're putting your hands in mounds of smelly crap. They're just more like, we gotta get the phone. And I know, yes, it's an emergency situation. Get the satellite phone before it stops ringing. But, and that's a great moment where the Spinosaurus shows up. Because the
Peter Pan moment.
They don't, don't hear it stomping. Yeah. They don't hear it breathing or growling.
Right. They never hear it.
Yeah.
But somehow they hear the phone through its stomach.
Yeah.
That's probably working its way down at this point to its
small
intestine.
That's a hell of a phone, too.
Yeah, like sometimes I can't get reception in my car.
Yeah.
I can't hear my phone sometimes if it's in the other room,
let alone
in a dinosaur belly about 200 yards away from me.
Can you imagine if that was in your pocket, like how terrifying that would have been?
It's also constantly receiving phone calls,
too.
How many people have that phone number?
A lot, apparently.
Jeez, and the battery life is phenomenal.
And it doesn't have, stomach acid does nothing to it. But we almost skipped over, because that scene then leads into where they get reunited at the fence, and that's where the Spinosaurus shows up, and at first he can't get through, and then he immediately breaks through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they end up in this cage where they think they're safe, which is the best scene in the movie. We've talked about the Pteranodon scene, which is awesome, except Billy's
the
miraculous.
The introduction of the Pteranodon is incredible.
In the fog, where she's like, Mom.
Yeah.
Again, because it's masked with fog, so it doesn't show. Like when the Brontosaurus dips down, it looks like a crappy Sega CD game. But when it's masked in fog, that whole sequence is really
so
great.
Good.
Well, because and also like it's you're not necessarily only afraid of the dinosaur now. Now you're also afraid of the fog.
Yeah.
So it like paints the entire environment as scary, not just this one thing that's coming after.
Yeah.
But the shot of it just stepping through the fog
is
the scariest shot of the entire.
So good.
Movie.
And I love the picking a kid up and the parachuting gets a little silly, but it's also it's fine comparatively to other things in it. But I wish they'd killed Billy. I know that spoiler alert, he comes back. Why?
He wanted to come back. That's the thing, is that he read the script and he said, I don't want to die. I'm not going to do this movie unless I die. Do you know who this guy is, too? He's Pollux Troy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was also in Junebug. Did you see Junebug?
He's also in the new movie Disobedience that's getting a lot of India acclaim.
That's right.
Yeah. He's actually a really great character actor, but I had
no idea he had the sway to bring himself back. Like, who knew this guy had the juice to bring himself back to life?
Well, if only he had made that decision earlier and people realized that on Jurassic Park 3, you can call your own shot.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You can just say, you know what? This is a Pteranodon movie.
It's like
that's what it
TV
is.
TV actors who make, you know, the plots even more absurd because of their demands. Let's play clip number 7, William H. Macy. I don't know what this is, but we'll find out.
If he'd been with you, he'd be completely safe.
No.
You drive 5 miles under the speed limit, Paul.
That's not safe.
It's boring.
It's actually dangerous.
And I've totaled three
dinosaurs
cars in
can
3
catch
years.
You quicker.
And I've totaled 3 cars in 3 years. Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't qualify him for being on an island with dinosaurs or parasailing. In fact, I think he'd be less safe with...
Well, I think she was saying like they wouldn't have ended up in that situation had he been with William H. Macy.
What she's really saying there is William H. Macy is super boring.
Yes.
Super boring. That's why she's with old Ben.
She's with the risk taker.
Yeah.
Who she clearly doesn't care about.
It's not about Ben. Yeah. It's the best look.
I mean, it's a little bit about Ben, man.
And how did, again, it's, oh, I guess they've been there 8 weeks. Do bodies decompose? It had been probably picked clean by dinosaurs.
I guess, but it was like strings of blood.
The little tiny things. The little, what are those? The little tiny dinosaurs? Those are awesome. I wish those were in there more.
Yeah.
All right, we got 5 minutes. We're going to keep going. Oh, thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
And then, this is when Dr. Grant, before poor Billy gets fake killed, not really, because Pollux Troy has some juice in Hollywood. can we play the clip where Dr. Grant, I can't see it because of the light, but I think number 8. Yep.
You steal Raptorex.
I feel like now that I'm hearing all of Sam Neill's clips out of context, he has a very specific delivery. And if I remember right, most of them have the camera pushing in on him.
Yeah.
And it's like Joe Johnson just kept being like, this is the line.
Yeah.
But there's like the line like 700 times in this movie.
And none of them are particularly great either.
No, none of them are like just the moment in the first one where he sees the Brontosaurus for the first time and he takes off his sunglasses to look at it.
You can't compare this to Jurassic
absolutely
Park.
Not because it's a perfect movie.
Yeah,
it's perfect, but you can't compare it to The Lost World,
which I hate.
It's rough. Yeah. It's rough. Can we play that again? Just because this will make you never steal raptor eggs just from the severity of his voice.
You steal raptor eggs.
I mean that.
Everybody knows that you buy raptor eggs. Yeah,
exactly.
You don't steal.
Somebody else steals
raptor
them.
Eggs.
Then you buy them. Yeah. Yes. Come on. All right. So now we're. God, there's all this stuff with Billy obsessed with the bag, and then you find out it's because he's stolen raptor eggs. Dinosaur turds. I said the Allosaurus doesn't do anything.
It's just the riverboat.
But the riverboat scene's fantastic. Yeah. I think it's awesome.
You know, it's what did you mentioned that when we first walked in here. You mentioned that one and the pterodactyl one. And what I wanted to tell you about that is both of those set pieces were actually supposed to be in Jurassic Park or the Lost World.
Really?
And both of them got kicked over. And those were the only two sequences in the entire movie that were supposed to be from that. And they are by far the best ones.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So that's why there's so much of a more Spielbergian influence on those?
Yeah,
there's the horror elements, like even in the riverboat scene where the boat's going and then you just see the fin pop up briefly.
Right.
It's got that Jaws type feel to it, and it's awesome.
Yeah, sure. I would have loved to have seen either of those in one of the other movies.
Absolutely.
But Joe Johnston was apparently supposed to direct Lost World, but then Spielberg took it over and then gave... Spielberg produced this one, so he gave the directing role to this one. Jan de Bont and Steven Sommers were also up for it.
Really?
Jan de Bont? Believe it or not, Tony Shalhoub was
Tony
up.
Shalhoub was up to direct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the riverboat scene's pretty awesome, though. I think
it's great.
It has a lot of tension. We have a callback to where, Dr. Malcolm went, hey, you know? Yeah. When William H. Macy goes and distracts, and then I don't know what his plan was other than to get eaten. At that point, he's going to save his son. You know, being a parent, you sacrifice for your son. And there's some dramatic tension there. The dinosaur looks cool in the dark with the rain. I wish they ended it a little cooler than just a flare gun scaring it off with fire.
Sure.
Yeah.
And how did William H. Macy not catch on fire?
Right. How did that was another one of those cop outs where he just falls into this pool of fire, and then all of a sudden he's like, hey,
he just walks up from the side like, I'm okay, guys, and I'll never leave you again.
And nobody discusses how he got out of there. They're just like, hey, cool dude.
Yeah. What's the I misfit? Oh, this is the little tender moment they have together before all of this. So we're gonna backtrack a little. Clip number 9, please.
Remember when we went fishing a couple of summers ago?
I love this.
I was putting the boat in the water, and the trailer sank. The tow truck tried to pull us out, and he got dragged in, too. The truck driver wanted to knock my lights out. I miss fishing.
What?
So
that
good.
Sums up the movie for me.
That was so good.
And I know we only have a minute and 45 seconds, but oh, my God, that clip was amazing. The Navy and Marines show up, but not before we have the infamous raptor. The raptors circle them. They put the eggs on the ground. The raptors are closing in. There's four of them. And then he brings out the 3D printed larynx and goes, and they all respond. And then somebody says, tell them something different. Or what does he say? Like,
it was like, you're crying for help. Tell them. I forget what he said.
Somehow he becomes fluent in raptor at that moment.
Yeah.
Well, and then they're like, oh, we'll listen and respect you. And
he knows a few words. He's not fluent. He just knows.
No,
he's conversational.
William H. Macy was the fluent one. He was the one that understood.
Sure, I guess.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
He had taken Raptor 101, but he had not taken 201
yet. To me, if they didn't have the talking to raptors moment, and if they didn't have Taya Leone screaming, you take out those two things, and I actually would be like, cool. Those are the two things that make this movie really... hard to tolerate.
If they had figured out the premise. If they had just spent 10 more minutes.
Give us the teenagers on an island with a horror film getting stalked by raptors.
Yeah. Okay. Fund me that.
And then we have the Deus Ex Machina Navies and Marines show up because apparently there's a bunch of white people on an island, the entire army shows up.
That's right.
Shots fired. Politics right there. Anyways, that's as political as I'll get today. That's all the time we have for today. I'm going to go see Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom this weekend. I'm going to let you know what I think with a spoiler-free tweet. Let us know what you thought. What's your favorite Jurassic Park movie? If it's this one, okay. Just let us know why. And just shout out some other ideas you want us to do in the next coming weeks. There's a ton of summer movies coming out, tons of sequels, so I'm sure there's something we could talk about. And all it takes is one tweet to sway what we do on this show. Until next time, where can they find you, Mike, and your band?
At Christ Puncher.
At Chris T. Puncher, and your band is your band.
Last Good Sleep.
Do they have a Twitter or anything, or just on Spotify?
We might. I don't pay attention
on
to
Spotify,
that
the Last Good Sleep.
I play drums, that's it.
He's a damn good drum player,
well,
by the way.
Thank you so much.
On Last Good Sleep, right? On Spotify?
Last Good Sleep, okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you for having me. This was a pleasure. pleasure.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for being here.
Good hanging out again. Yeah. And Jesse, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheRealTonyShalhoub. You can find me for a sketch at The Prom Losers.
I like that. And I'm at The Ben Begley. And at Parents vs. Baby is my wife and I. We have this parenting comedy blog thing, so check it out there. Until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.